Well, dear people, we continue our trek through the epistle to the Colossians. And as we go through, we are in the second chapter now. And as we come through, I want us to pick up what the apostle has to say to us. I want to read the second chapter beginning with verse 1 and read down to verse 9, but I will only focus on verse 8 this morning. Those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. See to it, then, that no one takes you captive from philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. As you know, we've been coming through this book of Colossians. We begin, and Paul himself, as he's writing to a church which he had not been the pastor of, he had not preached in Colossae, in order the church to be brought to birth, but there was one who was a minister with him, Epaphras. He was the one who brought the church to understanding Christ Jesus and the whole thing of salvation and what it meant for them. Paul writes to the church, and he's telling them what he heard about them and how he's so moved to know that what Epaphras did was truly to tell them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, he was more moved to what God has done in this people in the very area where they are. And Paul knew the area itself, but he had not preached in that area. And it was Paul who's saying now, as he received this report, he was just so thankful for what God has done. And he continued to pray for them. He truly told them that what God had given them was the truth and who Jesus Christ really is. You know, as we looked in chapter 1, all he has to say about Christ Jesus. And he made it known clearly that Christ Jesus is not just one of, as say, standing by the Godhead, but he is truly God in bodily form. He is the Holy One, God himself, and he is the one who now has come and brought himself by coming to the world on the cross and dying for his people. And Paul could even say, now he is in each and every one of you. But Paul even adds, not only that, you are in him. And that being the case, you are so connected to one another. There is no such thing as Christians being as a detached one, not being part of the body. All those who are saved and in Christ Jesus, they are in Christ Jesus. And he says, this is the wonder and the glory of it. And Paul could go on and he says he can rejoice what Christ has done in us. And he can rejoice what he's doing. But he says in verse 6, therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in him. Your life now must display that you are a different person, is what he's saying. And he used some wonderful words in verse 7, which saying how strong we are now in Christ and what he has done. He looks to the whole idea of plants and how they are. Then he looks to the construction of a building. He says in verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. You have been strongly rooted. There's some gospel roots, we could say, it have gone down so deeply. It's in as in the soil, and nothing can pull them up. But then he says, constructed. You've been built like a great building, and nothing can tear it down. No force can come against it to make it fall. He says, this is what you are. And this is a wonderful thing that the apostle could say to the brethren there, Colossae, because he has been given a good word from Epaphras, and he knows who they are. So he says now in verse 8, and this is where I'm going to pick up, and he says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And this is a powerful thing what Paul is saying here now. He's indicating that at this point, we're beginning to see there was something that was in the area. Some of the gospel preachers and commentators believe that it had come into the church of Colossae, but others believe that it had not gotten there yet. Now, I don't believe it was there yet either. But Paul says it's in the area. It's around you. Now, you have to know what is going to happen. So now he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. This is a powerful verse here. And I'll try my best to open up what the Lord is saying in each one of these phrases. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. See to it. The word used here means to look, which takes on the sense of looking carefully. And watch out, take heed, be on your guard. And we can say there's an aspect of it, you're to see and you'll know what's going on around you, you understand what it is, and so therefore you're going to put up a guard to make sure it doesn't get to you. As Jesus warned his return, and he said, using the same idea in Matthew 24 and 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. And we understand what Christ was saying in that place. I'll be gone away in heaven. And at this time in Matthew chapter, he hadn't gone yet. But you're going to be here alone. But you have to make sure nobody topples you from the very stance that you're on right now. And that is that foundation which is built in me. And this is what he was saying. Paul says in Galatians 5 and 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care or take heed that you are not consumed by one another. In other words, when things come up against in the midst of the people, you believe that I can do this to him or her, but nothing's going to happen to me. No, he says it will. He said, this is the very thing can happen. Then in Hebrews 12 and 25, it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And we know the writer to the Hebrews is saying, this is God himself. Christ is the one speaking to you. And we can truly use that very word for us today. I am preaching to you. You hear the voice of one you know quite well and known for years. But the words which are coming through is him who is speaking to each and every one of you. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Make sure that you are on your guard, is what he's saying, and that you are not tricked by smooth talk or ideas that are not in with what you have learned concerning Jesus Christ. Your firm stance is upon him, and make sure you see to it that nothing will come to you. But then a second phrase he used is that no one takes you captive. Captive here has the meaning of to strip, to carry away, to rob, to kidnap, to lead off as prey. It was the idea of being taken through by plunder or as a prisoner and taken away. See to it that no one, not anyone, Some of the commentators believe that there were a particular person that Paul may have been speaking about, one of those who were teaching the false religions. But many of them believe that that was not the desire. Paul was not speaking of any one individual, but he was saying, anyone, whoever may come, make sure you're not taken captive. Here Paul is speaking of the false teachers who try to rob believers of the richest available in Christ Jesus by feeding them destructive doctrines, feeding them the wood, hay, or the stubble, feeding them the trash and telling them, this is good. Here, I want you to listen to what I have to say. Man-made religions were everywhere in Paul's day, and Paul knew that the brethren in Colossae needed strength and grace to withstand the lies and the false teachings. Remember, Paul was one himself, and he got saved, and he knew what would happen as he was now moving about, and he was teaching the different churches. He knew what all the things that were going on and the lies that men were there, the religions that men had built up, not only in this day, but even all the way back in the Old Testament. We know all the Dagons and everything else and all the gods that man served. So Paul understood that. He said, but there are going to be those who are going to try to pull you away from Christ and tell you this is a better gospel. But Paul uses the words that he says, that he's looking at. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. Now, philosophy here, the word actually means love of wisdom. That's what it means today, too. It carries the same meaning. And it came to mean the doctrine or tenets of the heathen or Gentile philosophers, referring to religion and doctrine and all kinds of speculation that was in around the world today. We have them today, don't we? And Paul said, this is what you have to understand. Josephus, a Jewish historian, states that there are three forms of philosophy among the Jews: Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Essenes. The three main sects of Jesus in Jesus' day. The Israelites at this time had thrown off the Old Testament teaching and added man-made ideas to their faith. The three groups mentioned had their own ideas about how man must serve God, and was only through their particular philosophy. Each group says they have the way, not the other guys over there. So Paul is not speaking of philosophy as we know today. You got those who they have philosophy, and that's general. But God, Paul is speaking of something particularly different. Paul is speaking of the particular kind of philosophy that he labels empty deception. Notice how he goes on. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophies and empty deceptions. Well, empty here, the word he uses here means vain, fruitless, hollow. There's nothing in it whatsoever. If you have a fruit and you figure it's a fine fruit, you know, you pick it up and you squeeze it and it just falls apart. Nothing's inside. Nothing that could give you anything that'd be to your help. Here it means that which there is no truth or reality. False man-made ideas. Then he indicates the nature of the philosophy that he is concerned with. He calls them deceptions. Delusions really are what they are. Anything that is deceptive or seducing, which are purposefully used to draw people away unto them. But there's nothing in it. Just quick words, clever statements to make a person follow. But there's no truth whatsoever. Anything that is deceptive is just deceiving one. Our Lord Jesus Christ in the scripture speaks of this in plenty of places. I'll just quote for you Mark 4:19. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for all other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The deception, deceitful things that are spoken and taught in the world. What do they do to the word of God? Jesus said here, they choked the word of God, and the man becomes unfruitful. Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, write of it also in 3 and 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin comes, and it's like a nice warm feeling that comes over us and tells us, you know, enjoy. Take this. There's no problem with you. You can always go and ask God to forgive you. And he's a good God. He's going to forgive you. Or like one of the great old writers of the olden days, it said, sin say to you when you're ready to come and get rid of it, no, just let me stay here for a while. And when you're around people, I won't come up so they'll see me. You and I can just have our desire in when we are alone. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Sin tells you can do it. You don't have to worry about it. No one's going to know about it. But here Paul says that deception is the very thing. Empty deception. All these people have to teach you is nothing, has no strength, no power in it. But all it's going to do is going to capture you, take you away like plunder, carrying you off like one country takes another country, put them in chains and take them away. That's what Paul is saying you have to be careful of. All the false religions, that's all they're going to do is pull you away from the strong stable of Christ and who he is, and to take you into some kind of pillage, to be beaten, to be destroyed, and under the very hand of sin itself. But Paul goes on. He says, not only the philosophy and the empty deception, but according to the traditions of men. According to the traditions of men. The word he uses here for according, meaning the relationship that one thing stands towards another, which indicate the manner, meaning a norm, a rule, or standard. What happens and what one thing that you do and how it's connected to the other. Jesus says in Mark 7 and 5, why do you do your disciplines? Disciples, truly once said to Jesus, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? Now, there are certain rules set down, a body of traditions, things that you would do and show that you were attached to certain things and how they were laid out. So you did those things and then you understood. And everyone else saw you doing it. They understood what it was. But here, Jesus says the traditions of men accordingly. But we use the word according in many places in the scriptures. Two other places, Jesus used it. According to the law of Moses. All that the law of Moses had, you saw, you understood them, and you worked along with them. You applied those to yourself. 23 and 56 of Luke, according to the commandments. There were certain ideas embodied in these traditions that were followed, and they were expected to be noticed in order to prove that they truly had real attachment to these traditions. So he says here, he's speaking according to the traditions of men. Traditions are not really so bad. Here, when he says tradition, to deliver in teaching a doctrine or injunction delivered or communicated for one another. So nothing so bad about traditions. Tradition can be good. It speaks of the way ideas and truths are handed down from one generation to the next. But we have here, according to the traditions of men. There are two main types of traditions that Paul is speaking of in his day. He says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 12, now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I deliver them to you. Paul is saying, all that I brought to you in the gospel, all that I've taught to you, I'm glad to see you're standing and all the teachings of Christ Jesus himself, who he is, how it came to me, and now I deliver to you and you're holding fast. There's nothing so bad about traditions. But also, you find it in another way. That was in a divine aspect. Now, in a human aspect, Galatians 1 and 14. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. And Paul, when he's saying this, he's not saying this in a positive way, because he's come now to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those old traditions, he said, kept me and made me be those one who was trying his best to destroy all the Christians who had come to Christ. And remember, we just read this morning, it was on the road to Damascus that Paul was changed, turned around. He thought he was doing what was right by the traditions of the Jews, by the tradition of their fathers and what they were taught to do and how they honored God. So Paul said, give me papers. I'll go after these guys and I'll bring them all and throw them in jail. I want to see them dead. Paul is saying, that's what his ancestry traditions. That was traditions that was given him by man. It was all those who brought them down to him. He labels the traditions as speaking of the traditions of men. Here, most likely, Paul is referring to various pagan theories that existed in that day. Man-made religion was all around. It was there. This is a hint to the errors that existed in the area around the church. They were man-made traditions and were not attached to God or to the true teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, as he warns them, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through empty deception, and according to the traditions of men. Then he goes on, according to the elementary principles of the world. Here, the relationship that is connected to the world, here he calls the elementary principles of the world, the elementary principles. Now, when we look at the word elementary, I think basically each and every one of us will see and understand, it kind of given us some of the basic, the foundry, the basic parts, he called the word Greek. The Greek word, or the rudiments, the components of something. The word has the idea of first principles, or units in a row or series, like 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. Just like that. It means that we call the first principles of education. What do we call when a child goes to school? He's going to elementary school. He's going to get the first principles. Those things will lack it, you know, and hand it down to him. And so Paul is saying, according to the elementary principles, in Hebrews 5 and 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Galatians 4 and 9. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary things to which you desire to enslave yourselves all over again? So you see, the elementary principles of the things that enslaved you. Some say that Paul is here using principles in speaking of the spirits, like angels, and pointing to that aspect. Look over at verse 18. You'll see that most believe that is probably what Paul is working towards, to verse 18 in the same passage. Let no one defraud you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stance on visions he has seen, inflating without cause by the fleshly mind. So here, the apostle is probably in some manner that he's pointing to what they are going to say to you, how they're going to begin to teach you all these lies, which they say they are truth and what they are based upon. So Paul says he wants them to take heed, make sure they're not taken captive by the elementary principles of the world. He says the world. Now it's clear here that Paul is saying, when he says the world, he means mankind. because he's not indicating that there's something going to come to you and delude you from the very creation of God, but mankind, the world, man himself, and a particular thing that he's going to come. Not any particular man, but mankind and his lost state and his wickedness and his actual man-made religion. This is where it's going to come from. So make sure, be sure, according to the elementary principles of the world. And he's saying here, they have an elementary principle also. They have a way they can go from step A to step B to step C, and they're going to try to draw you in. So they're not all over the place. They're not making it where they're going to tell you about their God, and you hear one thing and you scratch your head. How does that connect? He says, no, they got a system that's laid out. And that's going to be to take you from step A right on down to step B, like 1, 2, 3. And here it is. And all you got to do is follow us. Oh, people, how many in the world today has found false religions to be what they think is a true, wonderful religion, and I can worship it. And I can find myself a part of that. I don't need Christ. I don't need Christianity. I find this other religion to be so much better than that. But dear people, you know what? At the base of that is a mind that don't want God and don't want to worship God, but in a mind which is pushed by the devil to take what will be easy. You see, it's not so easy to say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be cast into hell. I am worth nothing. Man doesn't want to say that. Give me a religion that's going to make me feel better. And Paul is saying, we could say today, there are many out there where you could choose a day to make you feel awfully good. Sit over there and meditate for a while. You'll find you're going to be so happy, much more happier after that. Your whole inner body is going to feel so different. You're going to say, wow, why did I wait so long to find Buddha or whoever the way you want to go? Paul says, huh, watch out. That's all man-made. That's of the world. That does not come from God. That comes from the world. Following what he says here, God, as he go on, notice what he says. Let me read the verse again. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, or empty deception, according to traditions of man, according to the elementary principle of the world, rather than according to Christ. That's what he says. He brings it here. Rather than according to Christ. Nothing what the false religions have to say or preach has connection to Jesus Christ. It is all man-made religion. There is nothing in it that will make a person new in Christ Jesus. Nothing in it that will bring one to Christ. Nothing whatsoever. Dear people, and we don't have to look back in Paul's day. We can think even today. There's all kinds of supposedly Christian sects, but they are far away from Jesus Christ and who he is. And I don't need to number them to you know today, this morning, but you know there are those who believe that you can have Christ, but you don't have to have Christ as he's presented to you in the Bible. God so loved the world, and God loves all mankind. All you have to do is have some kind of slight idea of that. You don't have to give up your life. Christ wants you happy. He wants you to have everything you want. Oh, well, you look in the Bible, you don't see that. You see Jesus saying and telling us to turn away from the world. Well, no, I don't think he means that. That's the sleight of hands that man's religion will bring to you. And this is the very thing that you and I have here, what Paul is saying to us. So as we come to this today and we think about it, what do you and I learn from it? What we do learn is that from the Bible concerning God and Jesus Christ is the truth and the only truth. There is no other truth. Now, man have their religious books. There are some who've taken our Bible, God's word, and twisted them around. There's those who came back a long time ago, and they took this word, and they changed it to fit their idea of religion. There's some that they've just totally even forget about the Old Testament. Some forget about the New Testament. We'll change that to make what we want. There were some great men in the past, and one was a president of this country. What he did, he didn't like the certain sections of the Bible, so he cut them out. And matter of fact, what he did, he made his own Bible, and he had only the sections in there that he would apply it to. He would not say Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for him, but he was telling you, I'm following God's word. And so many are doing that today. They think that this is the very way you worship. Paul says, no, this is nothing but empty deception. This is false truth. And he's telling the Christians there in Colossae, now what God has brought you through, stand firmly. And standing firmly, and as he says, walk in him, is now to have your ears, your eyes, your mind open up to the false teachings in the world. They're all about us, dear people. He's saying, be on guard, because there are false teachings in God and Jesus Christ about them, and their false teachers will take you away from it. The world is full of religions. And the whole part that you and I see and understand is who God is. You know, that's a problem right now. As a matter of fact, it's such a big problem that people say, I don't even want God. You say God is this one who created everything. And he's the one who superintends over all things. He's the one who holds all things together. I don't believe that. I believe we have to hold things together. We are the human race. We are the top of the feed chain. So therefore, we are the ones who should be doing what we need to do. You know what? We have to protect this climate. If we don't do something, it's all going to go to bunk. Where is it going to go? So what we got to do, we got to change our automobiles. We got to change how we're using this, change how we're doing that. God has not turned away from holding and actually causing this world to go the way he's going to do it. God said in the garden, he made man. And he said to him in the garden, now you are the one who's in, take care of it, keep it, do what you would do with it. And God instilled in Adam at that time that he should take God's creation and make sure it stays in the way God had given it. And the other thing, God said, all this I've given to you, it's yours. Use it to the glory of God. So there's nothing in this world that God given to us that is against the very world itself. He put it here. He know why he put it here. He put it here to be used. One of the amazing things to me is how mankind has gone on and how we could come to the place where man now can discover all the elements that is in this world, in this, on this globe that God created for man. You can go and you look at, you find ore and riches in this earth. You find oil, and now there are people trying to tell us, oh, oil is no good. It's going to destroy the climate. God did not say, here is what I've made for you, Adam. You take care of it. Be careful. If you use that, you're going to destroy the garden. Huh? There's nothing that God is saying that we can have that we're going to destroy. God said it is yours and do with it. Now make sure you understand and we understand that our word is coming from God and God alone. Dear people in the world, governments, all people in high places are telling us all kinds of things that strip God out of everything. It is what Paul calls here, nothing but empty philosophy, deception. Don't fall for it. And then we think of Paul, God, what did he do and will do concerning man? He's going to make man his glory one day. He was so concerned about man, he sent his son to save him. And his son is now in heaven. And he said his son's going to come back. And there's going to be a sharp division on however that scene would be when God Christ sets up his throne and all will come before him. And he's going to say to them, you enter in, you enter out of darkness. That's going to take place. And so therefore, no other religion. And just imagine all those who would come up at that time. Well, I followed Buddha. I followed Muhammad. I'm just as good, right? Into utter darkness. It don't count. There's no salvation in that. And this is what Paul is saying here. Our salvation is in the truth of God's word. He wants the people there to know in Colossae that it is the truth of God's word. Don't fall for all the things that's going to come. It's around in the area. It's going to come into the church. And Paul knew it will definitely come. It's not going to bypass it. It's going to come. There'll be those who will come in. And Paul is going to speak about it in detail as you go further on in this very chapter. But this is what you have to make sure. But most of all, he says, as he ends this verse, our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. He says, this is what he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the traditions of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ Jesus. Brethren, here's where we stand. We stand there and there alone. If anybody should come to you saying, I got a new idea about Christianity, you say, bye-bye. Go ahead. We had one who was in our midst. He had a new idea about the Trinity. He's gone now. Because he knew he couldn't plant that false doctrine amongst us. Shame to say it, but many have come into Christianity and have found to be false believers. They don't believe in Christ. They believe in a religion that is all man-made. And people are going to take this Bible, dear people, and they're going to turn it and change it to what suits them. And you and I must see this morning that we are making sure we are adding nothing to the Word of God and that we are taking nothing away from the Word of God. When we do that, we put ourselves in peril. If we don't understand it, Lord, I don't understand it right now. But don't just push it aside. Ask God to teach you, to guide you. And even, dear brethren, I hope what you're doing, as I'm standing here preaching to you, that you look back at these passages during the week to even bring them deeper into your heart. This is not the only time you should look at it while I'm preaching to you here on the Lord's Day. Go back to it because I believe that God gives me what he wants you to have. You have to believe the same thing. And therefore, if that's the case, do like those who cook a good meal on one day and there's something left over, they put it in the refrigerator. And it goes back in the refrigerator, maybe the next day, and eat on it again. Go back into what you see here. Bring this verse to your own life and thinking and saying, is this me? Here, and pray that God would help you to bear it into your souls, that you will have what you need, because really, in reality, we're going to see that there's no way you could stand strong without Jesus Christ being in you. So, brethren, make sure that you hold to Christ, and make sure your great hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Turn a deaf ear to all the so-called religions, and put your face in God's word. Put your heart in that word. Plead to God to help you to understand it. I labored through it, and I'm not looking for no praise from you, but I sure am looking for some change in you, that you be more and more like Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we truly thank you for your kindness and mercy shown to us. Where would we be, O Lord, if you hadn't brought grace to our hearts? We would be some of those who are on the outside, making our own religion. And some of us probably can look back in the earlier days when we had only parts of the Christian faith, and we made that a religion. We would hold to just those segments of it and not to the whole of it, until you came by power and showed us that we were hell deserving sinners, and we needed the truth, the whole truth from you and from you alone. So bless us this morning, our God. Help us. We are walking in this way, O Father. And Paul is reminding us there's danger all around us. And the only way that we are going to even be able to stand firm is to know that we have been firmly planted, rooted in Jesus Christ, built up in Him. Bless us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.